This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
What day is it? Just to say, welcoming new people and people who are joining us midstream and people who are joining us online. Wonderful tea. And then a mouthful of tannins and chocolate. And then just what a way to spend an afternoon. Light a little fire, have a little tea. Get to talk to some friends. A delicious tea. It's making me think of, I think it was at Todaiji or somewhere, and the monks served salted plum tea. Not good tea. Tasted like someone had scooped up the bay and waved a plum branch over it. Oh, only a seafaring nation like Japan could drink hot salt water. I must be like, why don't all Americans make that face all the time? So it's really, really tough. This tea, on the other hand, was excellent. Mm-hmm. So some of us have been sitting for a few hours, some of us have been sitting for a few days. So we've seen the landscape a bit. We understand what we're practicing with. So my question to you is, can you meet that? Can you meet that directly? Can you meet this whole moment, whatever's happening, can you meet it directly? That kind of intimacy with that kind of openness. If you do this, you're walking the way. If your heart is open, even when it breaks, if you're recognizing who you are and where you are, and as Jack Kerouac put it, equally empty, equally to be loved, equally a coming Buddha, if you can recognize that, then you are walking the way. But how would you say it? How would you say it, my fellow walkers of the way, my fellow travelers? What is it? Not somebody else's words. What is it for you? What is it? Better still, how will you express it? Would you say, not one, not two? That's pretty good. Would you say, beginner's mind? That's pretty good. But what would you say? Maybe you'd say, here no fish is forced to fly and no bird is asked to swim, as I saw on the ancient madrasa wall. Or as our friend from yesterday, Basso, said, ordinary mind is the way. I think one of the origins of his quote is actually from maybe one of the earliest usages of ordinary mind is the way, comes from a larger passage. They sometimes call it keep yourself unstained by Basso, by our ancestor horse, one way, one road, one path. That was Basso's Dharma name. Keep yourself unstained. There's no need to trouble yourself with mastering the way. It's enough if you just take care to keep yourself unstained. We become stained by being overindulgent in life, by fearing death, by striving, by chasing after goals, if you want to grasp the way directly, it's none other than your ordinary mind. Keep yourself unstained. Just when I arrived, I get, the only thing I don't unsubscribe from are these like daily poem things. Something from my bank, delete. Something, you need me to do what? Delete. Oh, a poem, okay. You have my attention. And just before I came up here, I think just when I got up here, I was reading this poem, and of course my Dharma sister is often reading the same book I am. And so I picked up this book, it's about 35 years old. I just saw it on a table and picked it up and started reading it. I arrived to Sesshin, she has the same book. We've done that a half dozen times, it seems, so far. So this poem is no different. This is a short little thing. And it's by Izumi Shikibu from the late 10th century. And this was translated by Jane Hirschfield. So, in this world, love has no color. Yet how deeply my body is stained by yours. In this world, love has no color. Yet how deeply my body is stained by yours. I gasped the first time I read it. Across a millennium, I gasped. How we can affect each other so. I digress. What is Master Basso saying to us with this ordinary mind? What does this teaching say? I think it says, if you turn the way into a thing that you must achieve, some kind of goal, or even something that you're going to hold your life up against, compare yourself to, it will have the opposite effect. You will stain the way. What is he saying here? When I was reading this, I was thinking, the image flashed to my mind of a scroll I got to see in New York by Hakuin, when some of his artwork toured into the US. And it's just this little scroll, and it's so soft, done with washes, just a little bit of ink and a lot of water to make this fuzzy little monkey hanging from a tree with his impossibly long arms, even longer than my long, skinny arms. And he's hanging from the tree and he's reaching down to touch the water, to touch the moon and the water. That's how we are. Right? Reaching with our long, long arms and our simian ways. We end up disturbing the surface of the water when we do that. So the moon becomes no longer visible to us. That is staining the moon. The moon is unchanged. The way is unchanged. But us, on the other hand, if we're not careful, we'll slip, we'll get all wet. You'll end up going for a swim. So I think what Master Basso is saying is, okay, you want to live a good life? You want to be free? Then live an ordinary life. I dare you. And the other big kind of famous quote that uses ordinary mind is the way. I also want to share that with you. It's actually a koan. Koans are teaching stories. They literally mean public case. And the way I think a public case means a lot of the kanji they borrowed from legal stuff. But the way I think about it is something good happened here. Something interesting happened here. Let's write it down because this may be important. It's worthy of public discussion. So when the old masters hold up these koans for us, it's saying, look here. Be curious here. And some of you that are more seasoned or have done koan study, you'll definitely recognize Joshu and Nansen. Joshu is famous for his lip and tongue zen, they say. He's great with words. When this is very difficult to put into words. I seem to have a lot of them, but it's a struggle sometimes. Maybe you can understand. Maybe you can be patient with me. And then, of course, you have Nansen with Nansen's cat. Some of you know what that is. And if you're doing koan study, you actually, one of the things I would instruct would be try and sit with each line and each word, but really sitting with each character or object in the story as well. Be Nansen. Be Joshu. Try it on. Play Enlightened Master for a minute and see what it feels like. So Joshu asked Nansen, what is the way? And Nansen said, it's your ordinary mind. Done. Good talk. What is the way? Nansen replies, it's your ordinary mind. So Joshu asks, so that's what I should aim for? I can relate to this. Nansen says, aiming for it only sets it up further away. So Joshua says, without aiming for it, how can I know it? I only know one way to be intimate. I only know one way to connect. This doesn't track. Without aiming for it, how can I know it? Nansen replies, the way has nothing to do with knowing and not knowing. To say that you know would be a mistake. To say that you don't know would mean you don't care. When you really attain the way of no aim, then everything will clear up like a sky and clouds. Joshu, after hearing this, became fully awakened to the most deep truth, and his heart shone like a clear, bright moon. So what's happening here? What's happening in our little story? Josh is asking, what's the way? What is this? You keep saying this, Ocean. What are you talking about? He's asking this. Why? If you try it on, you can feel the grasping. And feel the reaching outside of this moment, outside of himself. He's asking because he wants enlightenment. He's trying to skip over what he is here and now. And you can feel the grasping. And I think the teacher is picking up on this. He can feel the tension and he says, your ordinary mind is the way. What a medicine for that kind of grasping. Just this, he says, just this, just here. The teacher is saying, pay attention to the path you're on. Don't get lost on the trail up the mountain because you're standing at the mountaintop. Nansen is like saying, oh, look on the path, look, this flower. It breaks your heart, doesn't it? Oh, the bird song. What a path. What a day. And Joshua is like, yeah, beautiful birds and all that. How do I get there? How do I get to the top? I want the real part. And this breaks down one of these fundamental problems I think we all need to get over in our practice, which is we all start with, I'm stuck, or I'm suffering. We don't like where we're at, so we go out walking. We go out on a path somewhere. And so the student, Joshua, is saying, okay, I'm trying to get unstuck. I'm on the path. And I can't go around grasping and comparing and getting stuck on my path. So what is this ordinary mind about? Can you even go walking without the goal of walking, right? Like having a goal of like to be on a path or to walk. That's grasping, isn't it? This is what he's asking. And Nansen tells him, you're holding all of these things too hard. Just set out walking. It's just kinhin. It's left foot, then right foot. Don't complicate it. He's saying if you go out your front door with your teeth clenched and your eyes fixed like that, your walk is going to be really different. You're no longer just walking. He's almost saying, go ahead, polish that roof tile to your heart's content. You know, you can't make it a mirror. It's just not how that goes. And Joshua says in response, okay, if I set out walking without a goal, how can I even walk? What you're describing, it sounds like wandering. It sounds like sleepwalking. And Nansen says, stay with that ordinary mind. Drop a few more of those things and just try it. Try walking and trust. Trust you'll find your way. And if you find yourself getting stuck and you're grasping, don't immediately just replace that grasping with another grasping of, I'm grasping. Okay, I can see myself doing that. Now I need to get back on the path. You're just replacing it with another grasping, aren't you? Then Joshua basically says, like, I don't get it. You Zen people. How can you walk a path and stay on a path without a path like that? I don't. It just feels like it loses on meaning. And I'm just going to be stumbling around by myself. And Joshua says, and he has a good point, because I really relate to this stumbling feeling. A path is something I can walk. A path is something I could lose. Maybe lose and then find again. I don't know, but just tell me what the path is. What's ordinary mind? That's like saying, I don't know. I just need directions. Tell me where I'm supposed to walk. I mean, isn't the point of my practice here like to get enlightened? Otherwise, why am I sitting here breaking my ass on this cushion? Why am I doing this? Hours and hours of zazen, and what are you saying? And Nansen says, drop it. Drop it. Drop that story. You're setting up this is the way, and you're setting up this is not the way. And your sitting practice is probably the same. Stop using your sitting to gain something, then maybe you'll actually gain something. And then, all of that out of the way, your sitting is just enlightenment. It's just Buddha expression, just, right? If you're like that, then every path is the right direction. Every direction is the path. Can't be off of it. So Nansen closes with, you know, just walk, continuously walk. And you'll see that path so much more clearly before you. Because it would be such a shame for us to miss the enlightenment right at our feet, right there in each step. So yesterday I shared a story about the girl with the ants and the Q&A. I spent much of my career as a psychotherapist working with young people and children. And so I have like a whole, I should write these down. I should make a book of some of the things that like kids say. Encounters with Zen children or mandos with mini Roshis, you know, like what would you call this book? Maybe helping a little kid who had trouble with transitions. Don't we all? Yeah. That's what we're here for. I have a hard time with change. Hi, my name is Ocean, and I have a hard time with change. I'm addicted to myself. So I'm helping this little kid off the bus. And he's a real little kid. And it's cold winter's morning, and he gets off the bus and goes, and he bellows this thing out, and he looks at it with me. I said, "What is that?" And he goes, "Clouds." And I was just like, "Well, yeah, actually, it's a cloud." And this kid just discovered on this morning, I can make weather, I can make clouds, and I just thought, I'm off the path. I'm really off the path. This kid's on the path. Or the other story, I think I might have told this one. I had a young child client, a little girl. She must have been like 5, 6, maybe, like really young. And did a lot of art therapy. And I came in. And she's already like drawn away. All right, yeah, here we go. So I'm just watching and I said, "Oh, what are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing God." I said, "Okay, what does God look like?" And she goes, "I don't know, I haven't finished drawing it yet." I was just like, yeah, on the back, wide open. I haven't finished drawing them yet. I haven't finished drawing them yet. Is that the same or different to return to Buddha? Recollect Buddha. So yeah, we all live in that kind of cloud, but our cloud is this cloud of unknowing. And I think the practice helps guide us through this cloud. It helps us, maybe it just helps us become comfortable living in a cloud of unknowing, because that's never going to stop, is it? And is that okay with you? And it's never going to stop. First Noble Truth. So in this cloud of not knowing, this cloud of the unknown that we live in, when you're walking along and you encounter something on your way, the way, Meet it squarely and just say, yes, another chance to practice, another chance to show up. And try that more, try giving yourself the whole moment, not just part of it, but the whole moment. Or just draw God right on top of it. So yeah, that cloud is, it's okay. It's getting more okay, at least. Sometimes it's okay. In my family, we have the expression, we say, let your mud settle. Let your mud settle. Which is anything from like a stand-in for, all right, go upstairs, mister, and cool down. And then come back and finish the dishes. You know, let your mud settle. All right. To, Mom, my heart is broken. I don't know what to do next. It's okay, buddy boy. Let your mud settle. Answers will come. Let your mud settle. All the silt and sediment. It seems to really percolate out much faster when we're doing Zazen, doesn't it? Let it all settle. See as clearly as you can, and then just walk ahead with open hands. Just like at the end of the meal. May we exist in muddy water with purity like a lotus. What are we talking about? Talking about mud. Thich Nhat Hanh kind of ruined it and took it a step further. And he said, no mud, no lotus, right? The muddy waters of our tangled up lives, the muddy waters of our mind. Not ridding ourselves of something. We aren't dropping part of ourselves. We recognize that it actually comes from the mud, comes from this mud. That's where it blossoms. Not in pure water where nothing grows. Right here in our lives. Right? Isn't that the core practice for me? Transforming suffering into wisdom. Right in the middle of my life, as much as I can. I mean, Bodhidharma said that, I have the quote somewhere, I think. Something like, every suffering is a Buddha seed. What realm do Buddhas appear in? Not higher realms running around with devas and God. They appear in this one. In matter of fact, suffering is a requirement. We never look at it that way. It's get rid of this. I'll really be able to practice when the mortgage paid off, when it doesn't hurt anymore. I'd really be able to practice if I was as strong as her, as smart as him, or as clever as Shakyamuni. So I wanted to read a piece, a little paragraph from the Genjo Koan. It says, like the bird and fish, we must first manifest in our element before extending further, or we will not find our way or place. There is just the arrival at this place. Everyday activity is the manifestation of absolute reality. The way is everyday activity actualizing everything. The way, this place, is not large or small, not self, not other, not from before, not newly emerging. It's just this. The Buddha way is within the meaning of one Dharma. It is the fulfillment of that one Dharma. And the full engagement of one action is the full fulfillment of all activity. So here is the place. It is here that the way opens. With no distinct boundaries, no realization, simultaneously knowing and not knowing come forward. And simultaneously, we practice the Buddha with Buddha as Buddha. Realization is not an acquisition. Realization is not an acquisition. It is not necessarily manifest. Nevertheless, it is here immediately before us, and it is inconceivable. Joshu asked Nansen, "What is the way?" Nansen said, "It's your ordinary mind." So what should I aim for? Aiming for it only sets it further away. So then Joshu asked, "Without aiming for it, how can I know it?" The way has nothing to do with knowing and not knowing. To say that you know it would be a mistake. To say that you don't know it would mean that you don't really care. When really, to attain the way of no aim, then everything will clear up, just like a sky and clouds. Joshu then awakened to the most deep truth, and his heart shone like a clear bright moon. And each koan usually has a commentary and a verse attached to it, and the little verse attached to this koan is, "The spring flowers, the autumn moon, summer breezes, winter snow. If useless things do not clutter your mind, you have the best days of your life." That's it. That's a nice, short and sweet one, right upside the head. Each season, each stage of our life, each stage of our practice, if you want to even think it has stages, just each moment with our mind, even in each sitting period, we've got fall, winter, spring, summer, fall. You can feel it. It's this mud right here. Mud, muddy mud, 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 mud. And I want to close with a quote from Kobun-sama. He says, "There have been many centuries of discourse about whether human nature is essentially good or essentially hopelessly bad. You could argue it either way. Someone said, to appreciate a good thing, you have to show an example of a bad thing. Is that right? The human condition is very much arranged to reveal constant dualism. And the continuous struggle of living is an example. This is a dilemma unless we realize that this dualism is prepared for the sake of skillful means. On one hand, we want to become all-sighted, all-knowing existences. On the other, we eternally want to keep the secret of ourself. On one hand, we want to become all-sighted, all-knowing existences. And on the other hand, we eternally want to keep the secret of ourself. Sounds like Nagarjuna is trading samsara for nirvana, if I ever heard it. You don't want to be known by anybody, not because of sinfulness or your many errors, but to remain in a pure unknown state. Yet you want to know everything about everything and everybody. We go back and forth, knowing that in the end, we have to give up everything. We know that it's best to keep light-bodied, light-minded, very close to zero, But before that, we want to have everything. Before you lose everything, you want to have everything. Isn't that strange? And the more you strive for purity, the more the realization of yourself is hopeless, helpless, unreachable, and stained realization. The countless contradictions within us are examples of dualism. What should we do? Everybody knows that seeking your own peaceful spirit is up to your own practice. And it's a way to learn how to live, which means you accept yourself totally as you are. Everybody wishes to be a truly satisfactory person, satisfactory to yourself. But this doesn't happen by hearing somebody say how well you do the things you do or how wonderful you are. You will never be satisfied until you say yes to yourself. Way mind comes from that area. Each individual has spent many lifetimes' effort just to reach this life. You are continuing this effort as the last chance to see how far you can go forward. As the last chance to see how far you can go toward your own self. That kind of self we have got, each of us. Thank you for your practice.
Okay. Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.